Welcome to Nobody Told Me. I'm Laura Owens.
And I'm Jan Black.
We've all heard how important it is to live in the moment, but a lot of us know that that's a lot easier said than done. We also know we should try to do it, but we don't even know where to begin. So what do we need to know about meditation and mindfulness?
We'll explore that question on this episode as we talk with our guest, Rebecca Pacheco. She's an international yoga teacher and author of the book, Do Your Om Thing, which was named one of the top 10 yoga and meditation books by Yoga Journal. Rebecca's new book is called Still Life, The Myths and Magic of Mindful Living. Rebecca, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I'm delighted to be with you today.
Well, we are absolutely overjoyed by your book. It is absolutely fascinating. And I wonder if you could share with us why you titled the book Still Life.
Oh, do you want the real answer?
We'll take whatever you got.
Right off the bat, I adore this question. No one has asked it. So it's a good story. The book proposal was just about complete. I want to say maybe it had even gone to my editor preliminarily, and then I changed the title to Still Life. And when I thought of it, I knew that that was the right decision, despite the fact that I'd just written several chapters of a book that was entitled something else. And maybe you can relate to this, you know, Jan, particularly, I know that you're a mom of Laura. Laura, I'm unsure if you have children, but any mom can relate to this. I was sitting with my husband and the house was a disaster. We had a baby who was napping. We were taking a few minutes of peace on the couch. There was laundry on the table. There were dishes in the sink. The floor was strewn with toys, Play-Doh and books. At the time, my daughter was really fond of eating books.
I had one of those.
Hey, not me.
It wasn't you. Your
sister. She was very, very small. We had our feet up on the coffee table. There were markers on the table. And the way the colorful markers were placed, and I had a cup of tea, and I looked at the little moment snapshot of my life at that second, and I thought of still life art, you know, and I just thought of this chaos, but in a moment of stillness. And I thought, still life. It's still life.
Yeah.
You can look at it many, many different ways. And I loved all the different aspects of the title. And so it was changed sort of late in the game in terms of the proposal. But immediately we all knew that it was right. And so I love what it says about the fact that we can be the most diligent yogis, we can drink all the green juice, we can meditate daily, and still life knocks us on our butts sometimes. Mm-hmm. And still life can be chaotic and painful and devastating. We've all been through quite a chapter of that, right? And then I also like what it says about finding stillness in the midst of even the chaos. And then finally, I love the visual art reference of still life artwork, where you see objects that are kind of illuminated in a new way. So maybe you're looking at a piece of art that's just a coffee cup on a table, but it looks so beautiful and it evokes something peaceful or special or artistic, create, whatever it may be. So it had all these different meanings that all came together in that one moment, but it was born out of chaos and out of my house being a total disaster.
I take yoga on occasion, but I don't consider myself a yogi because I think that that's the people who are so flexible. So I thought it was super interesting that you said it actually means simply doing our best rather than being the person who can be the most flexible and do the toughest poses. Why is that?
Well, you know, you are a yogi if you want to be, Laura.
Hey, I'll take it. Makes me sound cooler.
Yeah, I mean, I think what we need to remember is that yoga is a very old tradition, and it has evolved, particularly in recent decades, the past two decades in particular, very rapidly. And it's much, much broader than postures. In the collective consciousness, we think of the postures first, and we sort of think of the postures as the beginning, the middle, and the end of yoga practice. And that's just not true. It's actually much broader than that. It has these beautiful philosophical underpinnings about how to connect the mind and the body. The word yoga itself does not mean, Laura, you must touch your, you know, nose to your knee. It means...
Yeah, that's not happening.
No, exactly. It doesn't have to. It means to connect. It means to unite, to yoke together as one. And there are a lot of ways you can interpret that, but the most kind of prominent and obvious and popular way to interpret it is the yoking, the connecting of the mind, the body, and the spirit. So that's what you're doing. You don't have to be super bendy to do that or to call yourself a yogi.
Okay. Your book focuses on the myths and magic of mindful living. And I just learned so much about meditation and mindfulness by reading your book. And I wonder if you could share with us what your definition of meditation is and why you feel meditation, mindfulness help so much and they can never hurt.
Yeah. So certainly if they ever hurt, then we should stop doing them. That's the bottom line. And in my experience, it's very, very small. And in my research, very small data set of people who are not helped by meditation and mindfulness. Now, the two words, meditation and mindfulness, I use interchangeably. A lot of us use interchangeably. There's no harm in it, but they're not exactly the same thing. So meditation is the formal practice where you sit down. You don't have to sit, but most often we sit. You might close your eyes. You just let your eyes land and you focus on the breath. That's the most basic way to do it. There are a lot of different styles and techniques, and I get into many of them in the book, but more or less you try to, place yourself in the present moment. And the breath is one way to do that. It's kind of the cheapest, most portable, most efficient tool that we have for meditation, because you can't take a breath in the future and you can't take a breath in the past. You can only take a breath here in the present moment. And so as you pay attention to that breath coming in and that breath coming out, you are present. So that is the practice of meditation. Mindfulness is a state of being. And you can be in a state of mindfulness while doing anything. And the thing that maybe nobody tells you is that you can be mindful or practicing mindfulness doing just about anything. And you probably have practiced mindfulness without knowing it. So you can, cook a meal and that chop, chop, chop of the carrots just puts you in a certain mode, a certain relaxed state where you're only focused on the sound of the carrots and the texture under your hands and the cutting board, or you can go for a walk in nature. Nature has its own pace. You know, there's a beautiful quote by Lao Tzu that it's something to the effect of nature never rushes, but it always is on time, or it always gets everything done that it needs to. And so just by being in nature, we slow down, we come back to the moment, we come back to the experience of the moment, our sensory impressions, how things sound and feel and taste even. And so, what I'd love people to understand about this book is that they probably know more about meditation and mindfulness than they think they do. And there are more ways to practice than there are people on this planet. So it's just a matter of finding what works for you.
We thank you for being part of our Nobody Told Me family of listeners. And in just a minute, we'll tell you about a special offer for our listeners from our sponsor, Ritual.
Ritual makes a great product called Symbiotic Plus. We love it and we think that you might too. You may have heard us talk about it before. It's our daily 3-in-1 clinically studied prebiotic, probiotic, and postbiotic designed to help support a balanced gut microbiome.
If your gut's telling you it needs a little support, Ritual has your back. With Ritual Symbiotic Plus, you get two of the world's most clinically studied probiotic strains to support the relief of mild and occasional digestive discomforts like bloating, gas, and diarrhea.
Why include a postbiotic? Well, it provides fuel to the cells that make up the gut lining and supports a healthy gut barrier. Symbiotic Plus comes in a delayed release capsule that's designed to help survive the harsh conditions of the upper GI tract for delivery to the colon. an ideal place for probiotics to grow and thrive.
Synbiotic Plus and Ritual are here to celebrate, not hide, your insides. It's time to listen to your gut. Ritual is offering our Nobody Told Me listeners 10% off during your first 3 months.
Visit ritual.com/NTM to start Ritual or add Synbiotic Plus to your subscription today.
All you have to do is visit ritual.com/NTM to start Ritual or add Synbiotic Plus to your subscription today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Visit ritual.com/NTM to start Ritual or add Synbiotic Plus to your subscription today.
We all know that people are impatient and they're going to read your book or do the call map or something like that. And
they're impatient, they're going to skim it.
Okay, so let's say they actually do it. They're going to wonder if it's working and how quickly it's working.
Yeah.
How do we know that it actually is working?
Oh, that's such a tricky question, and it's a really important one. And you might not like my answer, but it is that meditation is not a performance-based activity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't like that. You're right.
I love that. I like that.
I know. So that
I want to feel like I learned a skill.
Yeah, so that was going to be my the next thing I wanted to share is that while it's not a performance-based activity, so we can't measure it, quantify it the way that we want to. Think about having a place in your life where you cannot do it wrong. Think about having a space in your life where just by doing it, you are offering your mind and your body a healthful, powerful response to the stress of life. You cannot get it wrong. Meanwhile, we have a society that kind of tells us at every single turn how we're doing things wrong, how we're not stacking up. Everything we do must be measured in likes or algorithms or compensation or time, frequency, how fast we do something. And here is this space that you have built in already to your life as it is, where you cannot do it wrong, where it can help you immensely, and where we don't need to measure what it does because we can feel it. And the thing is, you meditate, okay, so maybe you meditate for 10 minutes, 12 minutes, 20 minutes, whatever it is, 2 minutes. That meditation has a cumulative effect. It's not just helping you for 10 minutes. There are 23 hours and 50 minutes throughout that day where that meditation may have laid some kind of groundwork for how you respond to life as it's happening. And that's impossible to measure. So I guess, you know, the short answer is that you can't do it wrong. And that's a really good thing. It's not performance-based. And so people get a little bit impatient, as Laura said, and they want to know, like, is this working? Am I doing it right? And so it does require being a little open-minded. And allowing the quote unquote results to show themselves. So, and they do, that's the thing. They really do. There's a funny story that I tell in the book, and I can't even remember the source of it, but it was a parent, I want to say a dad at the breakfast table, who had been a diligent meditator for a while. He was really digging the results. He was really enjoying how it felt. And then things got, you know, maybe so manageable that he felt like, I don't think I need this stuff anymore. And he said aloud, I don't think I'm going to meditate anymore. I don't think I need it or something. And his daughter, who was eating breakfast, said, no, Dad, I think you should keep meditating.
So what is a small way to start practicing meditation or mindfulness? How can we begin to incorporate this in our lives in a way that is manageable and will stick with?
So I could give you a really practical how-to if you want. And then I could even give you, you know, sort of the perspective, the bigger philosophy.
Sure, yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. So one practical how-to is what I call a one-minute meditation. And it you can truly do it in 1 minute. I do it very often. It's the type of thing that I might do waiting in the doctor's office when I'm feeling a little anxious. You know, I truthfully have a little white coat phobia. So, you know, you're in the doctor's office waiting and you can look at your phone and just sort of juice yourself with more stress and scrolling and all that. Or I can put the phone down and I can do this meditation. I've done it in my parked car before I'm going into a big meeting or something. I've done it in the restroom before interviews. And all you do is, you know, sit quietly for a minute wherever you are. Think of something you want to bring forth. So, you know, maybe it's calm. Maybe you're feeling nervous. You want to feel calm, or you want to feel strong or joyful, whatever it is. And so I just think of one word. It's like the SATs, like the first answer is probably right. Just go with that one.
Don't go with your gut.
Yeah. Just go with your gut. Pick something that speaks to you. As you inhale, slowly, silently count one. As you exhale, silently say the word. So inhale one, exhale calm. Inhale two, exhale calm. And you can do it all silently to yourself. And then you just keep going till you get to 10. That's it. And if that helps land you and you want to stay in that state of meditation, you could start again at one, or you could just let the counting fall away and you just watch your breath.
We thank you for being part of our Nobody Told Me family of listeners. You know, we always try to tell you about things that will help improve your life, and our sponsor, ZocDoc, is one of those things.
ZocDoc is the only free app that lets you find and book doctors who are patient reviewed, take your insurance, and are available when you need them. They treat almost every condition under the sun.
You know, it's frustrating to go to a doctor's appointment expecting to be able to fully explain your symptoms, condition, and worries, only to find that the doctor wants to hurry you out of their office.
Instead of listening to you intently, the doctor is checking the clock. But on ZocDoc, you'll find quality doctors who focus on you, listen to you, and prioritize your care. I've used ZocDoc several times to find doctors, and I have never been disappointed. I love how ZocDoc lets you check a doctor's availability and book an appointment as soon as the same day if there's an opening.
Thousands of doctors and medical professionals on ZocDoc are there to help you. ZocDoc helps you find the ones that specialize in the care you need and deliver the type of experience you want.
When you're not feeling your best and just trying to hold it together, finding great care shouldn't take up your energy. And that's where ZocDoc comes in. Using their free app that millions of users rely on, you can find the right doctor that meets your needs and fits your schedule.
Book an appointment with a few taps in their app and start feeling better faster with ZocDoc.
Go to ZocDoc.com/NTM and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. Many are available within 24 hours.
That's ZocDoc.com/NTM. ZocDoc.com/NTM.
If you have a symptom that you'd really like to get checked out, don't put it off anymore.
Just go to ZocDoc.com/NTM and download the ZocDoc app for free.
So for the most part, I agree with you about putting that phone down if you're at the doctor's office and you're just waiting and you need to meditate. But on the other hand, I've found that when I've tried to meditate, it's been helpful to have something like Headspace to guide me.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. So how are the phones distracting us from being mindful and meditative, even though there's so many resources and apps that are available to help us get in that space?
It's so tricky, isn't it? Because we're trying to give ourselves a way to recover from stress. And oftentimes just having that phone in our hot little hands, mm-hmm. even if it's doing something
comforting,
it can also add to the stress, right? Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, the bigger picture is having awareness, right? It's all a matter of awareness. It's a matter of being aware of what we're doing while we're doing it and how it's making you feel. So I know for me, when I'm in that doctor's office and I'm on the phone, I'm just juicing my stress hormones. I need to put it down, right? If you're having a different experience where you're like, look, I'm on an app or I'm listening to a podcast with, you know, a Tara Brock or a meditation teacher, that's a totally different ball game. So I'm not saying no phone ever. I'm just saying that we need to have an awareness of what we're doing and why we're doing it and how we're doing it and how it makes us feel. And then, you know, you asked, what can we do? How can we start? So that 1 minute meditation is one way to start. And then, you know, at any point in your day, in your life, you can come back to your senses and that helps anchor you to the moment. So often when we're moving about our day, we're not in the moment. We're thinking about like what to make for dinner. We're thinking about, I will tell you this, that so much of meditation is meal planning. I can my deeply scientific studies tell me that like 92% of Shavasana at the end of yoga class is meal planning. But you know, it's just having that awareness of bringing yourself back to the moment. And one simple way to do that doesn't require any special, you know, technique or trickery is just to come back to your senses. And you can pick one, you know, your sense of touch, your sense of sight, your sense of sound. One of my favorite things to do when I'm outside in particular is to pick one bird and just listen to one bird, or try just to hone in on like one sound. Or, you know, maybe it's the dishwasher. You just sit for a minute and you just listen to the hum of the dishwasher and feel yourself come back to the moment. So those would be my two kind of quick tips, is that 1 minute meditation and then just having an awareness of your senses throughout the day.
You write that moments of difficulty are precisely the times when we need mindfulness the most and when it is at its best. But aren't they also the moments when it's hardest to tap into? And if that's the case, how do we do it? I mean, when we're feeling so overwhelmed.
That's a great question. And it's the truth, isn't it? It's the heart of the matter that when we need inner stillness, it feels least accessible. And that's why regular practice is helpful. You know, it's a little bit like brushing your teeth. Like, you don't start brushing your teeth the day before you go to the dentist. I mean, hopefully not. Uh-huh. you really have to put in the effort consistently. Now, look, that's not to say that we're going for an all or none approach. And if you can't meditate every day, then forget it. But what I do mean is that, in the sense that meditating regularly is a little bit like depositing into a savings account. So you do that when you can do it, when you have the availability, when you have the resources, when you have the time, you have the energy, you have the focus, maybe you have the app, like Laura said. And so you're cultivating this reserve of stillness within. And when it's hitting the fan, Jan, you know, and you're absolutely right, when you're like, look, my life is hitting the fan, I don't have time to sit still and close my eyes. Like, I'm keeping a newborn alive, right? Like that. I write about that moment in my life where I had been a daily meditator for years and years and years. And then I had a baby, and you can guess what happened next.
Yeah.
But what I found was, at least initially, that reserve was there for me. So even though I was no longer capable of meditating on a daily basis, I had built this sort of safety net for my emotional and mental health. Mm-hmm. Now, that lasts only so long. We can't be in survival mode for an extended period of time without it having, you know, detrimental effects. And I have experience with those as well. But the bottom line is that's why regular practice is so useful. It's like, you know, mm-hmm. it's like exercise, it's like brushing your teeth. And that's why it's not measurable, to our earlier point about things being, you know, not performance-based. That's positive, because we're here, we're depositing into the bank, we're building something so that it's there when we need it. Because life is inevitably going to hand us all times when there's just no way that we can, you know, focus on meditation. And that's
right.
And that's okay. It's really mm-hmm. okay.
I've heard a lot of people say that during the COVID pandemic, there was a second pandemic of loneliness and depression. And it seems like mindfulness and meditation would have helped so many and could continue to. So why would incorporating that into their lives be important and beneficial?
Yeah, a Buddhist friend of mine and I were talking early in the pandemic, and she made the joke, the quip, that suddenly everyone was on a meditation retreat that they didn't sign up for.
Isn't that true? Really, yeah.
You know, like
really. Time to think on our own.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. We were all suddenly quarantined literally within our own heads. And
we had to comfort ourselves, you know, people who were just alone. They didn't have other people who would help them, their family. They couldn't see their family and get that. Yeah. Like get that comfort from them.
Yeah.
Yeah. It, you know, I have been in this field either, you know, teaching, whether it's teaching yoga, meditation, writing about it for 20 years, to some extent. And for the first time, you know, so for a long time, I used to have to cajole people to meditate, especially in the yoga environment. They want to like do. They want to stand on their heads. They want to do it.
Yes.
And I would always have to, you know, convince them to meditate. And certainly in recent years, and I think this aligns with the rapid influx of technology and the smartphone. Like, I just think we're so wired now that people have finally, I think, realized that they need to unplug and they need something to reconnect, you know, and to reduce stress. And so that's, I think, part of the reason why meditation is becoming more popular all the time. But for the first time during the pandemic, I did not need to convince any of my students, any of my friends to meditate. I started teaching live meditations on just Instagram Live. They were free to anyone. I did it almost every night for several months. And I was just totally shocked. Like, people, there were certainly people who were dedicated meditators who had, you know, been happy to meditate with me previously. But now that people were really truly stuck with themselves, they knew that befriending their minds would maybe help a great deal. And so that was one very visible way for me that I saw how the pandemic changed our perspective on mindfulness and meditation.
What kind of an impact can meditation and mindfulness have on things like sleep or memory or depression?
Yeah. Well, there are so many studies and many of them are just really compelling, but you have to try it for yourself. You know, for me, I know for certain if there's a night where I'm going to have trouble sleeping, it's because I skipped my meditation. Or rather, it's a day where I skipped my meditation. Like, to me, there's a direct correlation.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So, and I think that a lot of people find that just anecdotally. There are lots of studies that do confirm the same principles. You know, there are several that have been discussed frequently in meditation circles, and I go into some of them in the book, but one of them was that they've done MRI studies of the brains of meditators, and what they see is that the brain actually changes over time and it gets stronger. So, you know, the area of the brain that correlates with executive functioning, with memory, as I think Jan mentioned, with, you know, stabilizing our mood regulation, all of that, those areas of the brain get stronger. And the area of the brain, the amygdala, that is sort of the smoke detector of the brain, which is obviously very useful. It tells us when we're in danger, but it also tends to go haywire sometimes. And it can wreak a lot of havoc when it's just going off unnecessarily. And that's that, you know, kind of panicked fight or flight feeling that we have.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Too often. Look, I'll speak for myself, you know, and so that area of the brain tends to get quieter, get smaller with, mm-hmm. with regular meditation. So, you know, I don't pretend to be a scientist, but the studies are very compelling, very positive. And then what I, you know, tell people is that you just have to try it within your own life. It isn't like ordering a pizza. Like, you can't say, I want that benefit. And
right. Exactly.
So, but I will say that for me, thankfully, that sleep one is one that I do enjoy. Mm-hmm. you know, sometimes I wish it would be better with my memory, but aging. But yeah, you know, there are a lot of incredible benefits, and it will be there for you in different ways at different points in your life. I think that's another thing to remember.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do too. And I know you've listened to the show, so you probably guessed that we were going to ask you, what is your nobody told me lesson? So what did nobody tell you about the benefits of mindfulness and meditation that you wish you knew long ago because they would have benefited your life even earlier?
Do I have to choose just one?
Oh, no, 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 no.
Give us as many as you want.
Whatever comes to your mind.
So many. You know, and I also think about it from what I want people to maybe take away from my work, from my book, from my teaching, but also just from meditation in general. You know, nobody told me that I could befriend my own mind and how crucial that would be to my health and happiness. Nobody told me that good vibes only is a nice idea, but also a myth. You know, that you're not doing it wrong. That when it comes to meditation, you're not doing it wrong. And when it comes to your life, you're still probably not doing it wrong because your life is yours.
Right.
I think, you know, nobody told me that I can observe and contain the experience of the moment without constantly reacting to it. That's mm-hmm. a huge perk of meditation. Nobody told me that I can walk and call it mindfulness practice. I can make art. I can dance and call it mindfulness. That mindfulness is not for a life with less chaos, a more organized life. It's for our lives right now as they are.
And Rebecca, how can people connect with you on social media and the internet and find out more about your work and the book?
Oh, thank you for asking. So I'm Omgal on social media, Omgal on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook even. It's Omgal blog on Facebook. And my website is Still Life Book or my name, RebeccaPacheco.com. And I love to connect with people. So I hope that we all do stay in touch.
Well, we thank you so much. This has been absolutely delightful. And I really want to try to incorporate what you have talked about into my life.
I totally agree. And you make it so simple in the book.
Oh, thank you. Well, thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk to you. A nice mother-daughter moment. There are many mother-daughter moments in the book in terms of I was writing it after becoming a mother. But just over the weekend, I actually got the first real copies of the book, hardbound copies of the book. So I brought one home to my mom and
oh, wow.
She was reading it yesterday. So I thought you'd appreciate that.
Oh, that, and wow, how wonderful. What an exciting time.
Yeah, it was really special. So thank you for what you do and letting me come talk to you today. It was an honor.
Yeah, we wish you the best of luck with the book, and we know that it's going to help a lot of people, and we are included in that.
Oh, thank you so much. Well, good luck, and I hope we stay in touch.
I'm sure we will. Our thanks to Rebecca Pacheco. Again, her new book is called Still Life, The Myths and Magic of Mindful Living. Her website is RebeccaPacheco.com. I'm Jan Black.
And I'm Laura Owens.
You're listening to Nobody Told Me. Thank you so much for joining us.